Blog Talk Radio.
Off because my computer screen was frozen.
Were you playing it on the 78 this week?
And it got stuck. The needle just wouldn't let up, and I couldn't. Nobody knows what we're talking about. Nobody under 30 knows what the hell we're talking about with that.
Oh. Oops.
This is in much less detail, the podcast. Oh, gosh. For Friday night, September the 21st, is that the right date? 2013. I am Dre, he is Jay. We are off to a rip-roaring start. Boy, that was strange. We are here for your Week 3 NFL picks. We are here on a special Friday night show. And, Jason, before we do that, we, of course, like to look back on the Thursday night show for a little while and oh, boy, that Chiefs-Eagles game, that didn't turn out the way either one of us thought it would.
No, that game completely baffled me. I'm still thinking about that game because I can't figure out if we underestimated the Chiefs or if we overestimated the Eagles or both, because that was just awful. It's just simply just ugly. I mean, the Chiefs, maybe that's just the way they're going to win these games. I mean, they're undefeated. They can't take that away from them. They're 3-0. And ever since that first half against Washington, Philadelphia has been pretty mediocre. And now we're finding out that everybody looks great against Washington. So I'm actually starting to have more doubts about Philadelphia than I'm, you know, thinking that maybe we sold a little short on Kansas City.
Yeah, I just got a few observations about the Eagles after that 1-2 start. It looked so great in that first week, and in the last 2 weeks, not so much. I just got something to say about that. Get your sunglasses ready, all right, Jason? You got your sunglasses?
Yes.
All right. The Eagles started out with life in the fast lane. Michael Vick and company, they thought they could just take it on the run all season, but after those last 2 weeks, it just looks like heartache tonight. Thank you. I'd be here all the week.
You were working on that one all day.
Could you tell?
Yes.
Three games to highlight this week before we get into the rest of the action. Usually we do four, but really three games this week that stood out to really take a deeper look at, starting with the Packers and the Bengals. Green Bay, coming off of what they did to the Redskins last week, now go up to Cincinnati, or actually down to Cincinnati. Go into the Bengals, Kyle says, a 2.5-point favorite. Green Bay, the road favorite, by 2.5 over Andy Dalton and the Bengals. And Jason, how do you see this one shaping up?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that the Packers are going to need to send a thank you card to Mike Shanahan and the Washington Redskins, because this felt a lot like that Super Bowl run that the Packers went on, where they couldn't run the ball all season, and then they go into that first playoff game and James Starks goes crazy, and all of a sudden everybody's like, whoa, look, the Packers got their running game back. Now we have to game plan for it. And so, of course, for the entire rest of the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers just shredded everybody. But it made those other teams have to respect the Packers' run game, because the Packers don't have a run game. They just happen to have one against Washington, who's horrible on defense. So now Cincinnati's going to go into this game, oh, wait, we're going to have to game plan now for James Starks, because he had over 100 yards rushing for the first time for a regular season Packer running back in three seasons. And I don't think that the Packers need a running game. I just think they need the threat of a running game, because Aaron Rodgers is going to beat you no matter what. So if Cincinnati attempts to stack the line at all against the Packers, this is just going to be play action over the top all day long. And I do like the Packers here to cover as the rare. I don't understand why they're a road favorite here. And you know, I jumped on Buffalo last week because I thought that they were an undeserved road home dog. Not sure the Packers have earned a 2.5-point spread in their column, but I see them winning this game.
You think Cincinnati might be that stupid to stack up and try to stop James Starks and let Aaron Rodgers beat him over the top?
I think they ran it enough against Washington and compiled enough stats on the ground that they had to watch that film. I mean, that's the most recent game. And any time that Cincinnati spent gaming for the Packers' run game will cost them, because that's not their game at all. If they're biting on anything play action in that game, they're done. And I think that you're going to actually see – I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers just come out, play action, play action, play action, to start the game, just to make them think they might hand the ball off to James Starks, who's ironically the guy who, you know, also did it in the playoffs for them a couple of years ago. So, like I said, I don't think they need to run the ball. People just need to think they're going to run the ball, and that makes Aaron Rodgers 100 times better.
I guess I'll
also take some of the pressure off of him with that defensive line. Cincinnati can get after the quarterback. So anything that they can do to stop that rush, maybe even the screen game, because Green Bay is a very good screen team. We're going to see a lot of play action and a lot of screen passes, but they will move that ball.
Yeah, I see your point that some team might decide that James Starks is somebody you need to game plan for and you need to really prepare and get ready for his onslaught. But I actually don't think the Bengals are quite that, I guess dumb is a harsh word, but, you know, I do harsh very well, I think. I don't think they're that dumb. I got Cincinnati to cover the spread and win the game, but I actually cover the 2.5 and then go ahead and win as well. I know I'm really going out on the limb there. I know. Cincinnati has 2 sacks on the season. That is absolutely ridiculous. They got no sacks, of course, against Jay Cutler and the Bears, which was the major upset of the year so far. And then a couple of sacks last week. But that defensive line recognized as one of the best in the league coming into the season, led by Geno Atkins, the best interior defensive lineman in the game. I can't imagine Green Bay's offensive line protecting Aaron Rodgers on the road long enough for Cincinnati to get less than 3 or 4 sacks. I think Cincinnati is going to have their way with the Green Bay offensive line. Now, Aaron Rodgers is no stranger to performing well when getting beat around and getting sacked. So it's not a guarantee that Green Bay would lose the game just because Rodgers gets beat up a lot. But that's what I think is going to happen. I think Aaron Rodgers will get his numbers. I agree with you there. But I think Cincinnati will beat up Rodgers just enough to maybe force a key turnover and make sure that Cincinnati can go ahead and win the game. It should be really close. I don't, you know, perceive Cincinnati blowing them out or anything like that. But just one of those hunches. I think Cincinnati comes home. They don't want to go 1-2. And I think they know how to play the Packers because they are one of the teams in the league that has the defensive line that can play the Packers like that. That's how you beat the Packers, is you attack that offensive line and you get to Aaron Rodgers and you really subdue him, not just, you know, play him strong and try to rush him and pressure him, but you actually have to go in there and, like, beat him down. And I think the Bengals might have what it takes to do that this week. It's a little bit of a stretch, I understand, but that's my hunch pick for this game, is to go with the Bengals. Moving on to our second highlight game, which will be the Atlanta Falcons and the Miami Dolphins. You can't get much tighter of a line than this. Atlanta is a one-point underdog going into Miami. Miami 2-0, two big road wins. Looking very good to start off the year. Atlanta 1-1. They started off rough down in New Orleans, rebounded against the Rams at home last week. But Atlanta gets a point down in Miami. Jason, who you got?
I like Atlanta here. I know Steven Jackson's kind of iffy for this game, but I wonder if that might actually help them this week. It's really going to put the emphasis on that passing game. They're going to need to score the points. Both of their running backs are going to be, you know, especially Jacquizz Rodgers, they're going to just be catching the ball. I know Jason Snelling sprung on a touchdown run last week and just kind of shocked everybody that the Falcons actually just ran one up the gut for a touchdown. But
yeah,
I like
Steven Jackson's
got
iffy. He's definitely not playing.
Well, that's very iffy. He's extremely iffy. He's not even going to play. I like Atlanta's offense enough this week. Traditionally, I don't have a stat to back this up. This is just what I see. Atlanta traditionally plays very well on the road against these AFC teams. And I just remember going in years back, they would go into these AFC teams. They'd go into New England. They'd go into Baltimore. And they would just always play really well. For whatever reason, you know, they went into Kansas City last year, although everybody went into Kansas City last year and lit up the Chiefs. I like what Miami's doing. But, you know, if Atlanta wants to take that step, they need to start trying to keep pace here in the division. They showed enough against the Rams, holding on, scoring the late touchdown to put the game away, which has been a problem for them because they do get up big and then they let teams come back on them. I like Atlanta squarely on the shoulders of that offense because their defense doesn't scare anybody. I think they're just simply going to outscore Miami.
I have to go the other way. I have to take the Dolphins here. This is such a great time to play the Atlanta Falcons, it would seem, with the way that they're not totally clicking on offense as far as losing their star running back. They make the big deal to get Steven Jackson in the offseason, and he only lasts, you know, a game and basically one play before he has to already take a seat. That's a huge downgrade in the running game to go to Jacquizz Rodgers and Jason Snelling. It's not even close when you compare talent. So that allows Miami to play up and really get after the quarterback, Matt Ryan. That allows them to be loose downfield. They don't have to worry about the run game too much. Also helps a lot being on the grass instead of being in the dome in Atlanta. It might be a different story. Atlanta might be able to overcome if they were at home. But this was just too much, too many circumstances coming together. Atlanta going on the road, they're not completely clicking, and they've got a bunch of injuries. They've got Steven Jackson now. They've got they lost Corey Bierman, their defensive lineman for the year. Roddy White is still less than 100%, as far as I'm concerned. I haven't seen him show me anything yet this year. So they're so far in the passing game relying on a one-man show in Julio Jones, and as wonderful as he is, you wonder how long that can keep up. Eventually, the defenses have to figure that out and send a double cover his way and shut down Matt Ryan's best option so far. Miami is on a roll. There's no denying that. And I just think combined with what Atlanta's going through, that's a great combination to allow Miami to get off to what will be a surprising 3-0 start. And one of the bigger shocks in the NFL, actually, if that would happen. So that's why I like to fish in this one. Game three that we'll highlight will be the Colts and the 49ers. So many storylines in this game. We got the Trent Richardson addition. We got the Alden Smith possible subtraction, although it looks like he's going to play despite trying to kill himself basically this morning. Indianapolis is a 10-point favorite. I'm sorry, a 10-point underdog at San Francisco for the late game action out on the West Coast. And I guess I'll start off on this one. I like San Francisco to get the job done as far as winning this game. And I like them to cover that 10-point spread. I do think it's going to be tight as far as that spread. I like San Fran, obviously, to win if I got them covering 10, but I don't know if it's going to be a slam dunk that they cover that 10, but I will go with them. Andrew Luck gets to line up against a 49ers defense that got embarrassed on Sunday night against Seattle. And I think they're going to be kind of angry and looking to reestablish themselves as one of the top teams in the league. And that doesn't bode well for Mr. Luck. Trent Richardson as an addition in the running game, in the long run, obviously, is a great thing to help out the Colts. But in the short run, you're looking at, the number four rush defense from last season. That's not exactly the right spot to step in and get your first action for your new team, and plus it's on the road. So I don't think Trent Richardson is going to be much of a factor this week going forward. Like I said, great addition, but I don't think this is the week for Trent Richardson to make a real impact. And then on the other side, San Francisco can really bounce back from what happened in Seattle last week because they get one of the worst traditionally run defenses in the league. I can see Colin Kaepernick running for close to 100 yards and Frank Gore together. I think this is a great spot for the Niners to bounce back and get the job done and cover that number against the Colts. Of course, Andrew Luck being Mr. Comeback, that's why I'm a little scared of them covering the number because there could be a garbage time touchdown somewhere in there that allows Andrew Luck to bring the Colts to within single digits and cover that number. But I can't play scared. I'm so far behind you, Jason. It's ridiculous. I got to go with my instinct and what I think is going to actually happen. And a 14-point win is not much, but it covers 10, so I'll go with San Francisco.
Well, I'd actually like to start this part of this show with this pick by actually talking about another team. I have some words for Cleveland. Three words. What the fuck? You just traded your franchise running back. Didn't they just draft this guy first round last year? This blew my mind. I know we, after the show on Wednesday, because we didn't even have enough time to squeeze this in, we equated this to the, in a baseball term, we equated this to the white flag trade of your beloved Chicago White Sox when they were, how many games out of first place were they when they made that trade?
They were 3.5 behind the Indians, and if you think that's enough time to catch the Indians who are up 3.5 games on July 31st, you're crazy.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah, we know that Cleveland sucks. We know they're not going to make the playoffs. Now we know they might win two or three games. Might. That's a stretch. But you don't trade, you just hired a new coach, and your probably best offensive player, you just gave him to Indianapolis. I am not taking the Colts because of that. I'm taking the Colts because they are almost blowout proof. It seems like you cannot blow out the Indianapolis Colts as long as Andrew Luck is out there. You get up big on him, and he'll somehow find a way to make a game out of it. I know they did it to Green Bay last year. They seem they did it to everybody. They just won't go away. You cannot kill this team. Andrew Luck is that good. I think that Seattle did some major damage to that San Francisco psyche. I wouldn't be shocked to see San Francisco come out flat and just completely spun around, have no clue. They got schooled so badly up in Seattle, and a lot of teams do. but for the, you know, for just, you know, wanting to be the class of that division and to just go and get absolutely annihilated by the way, like the way they did up in Seattle, I don't know if that's something that you recover from quickly. So this isn't so much that I definitely don't think that Indy's going to win this game. I actually see this more as a game that San Francisco just pulls out late. They kind of, that's when they get the guts, you know, the gumption to go out there and pull one out at the end. But I don't see them capable. I don't think anybody's capable of blowing the Colts out. And anytime I see the Colts up against a big number, until they prove otherwise, I'm just going to keep rolling the Colts and taking the points.
I want to ask you about more about the Browns as far as that trade goes. There's a lot of discussion that still be had about that. But for now, we have to move along. And it is time to get to the rest of the week's picks in even more less detail. Jason, you start.
All right. We both agree this week that the Giants, as a one-point favorite, are going to go into Carolina in a battle of terrible secondaries. We both like Eli Manning to exploit the terrible Carolina secondary more than Cam Newton will take care of that poor Giants secondary. So Eli and his weapons will start their comeback push as I continue to play right into my storyline here for the season. Giants minus one. We're taking the Giants.
It's Carolina minus one, but either way, it's pretty much the same thing. Houston is a one-point road favorite going into Baltimore. We saw last week how much trouble Baltimore had scoring points. So we're both going to go ahead and take the Texans to get the job done. We know how I feel about the Texans and their piss-poor play from last week. I'll give them one more chance to bow up and man up and outplay an inferior opponent in Baltimore, as much as we respect him for winning the title for us last year, is an inferior opponent. They barely beat Cleveland last week. Now Houston comes in. You said you think Houston knows how lucky they are to be 2-0, and you think that'll motivate them to really step up and perform better this weekend, and I concur with that.
I like Andre's new favorite team, the San Diego Chargers, to come up with a road win in Tennessee, who's a three-point favorite. Andre, you like your home state Tennessee Titans to win this one, even though you said that this game smells pushy to you, and we all know you love the smell of pushy.
Oh, glorious.
But you think that that Tennessee is going to just Greg Williams is going to have the bounty out on Phillip Rivers, and they're going to blitz him into oblivion and maybe create some lucky turnovers. I know this was a tough one for you to pick because you just love both of these teams. I know how much you loved listening to those last two Titans games. I'd hate for you to finally jump on board with them just to have them let you down while I go the other way, which is something that for people who have any history with us on the blog know that as soon as you jump on a bandwagon, you drive it right off the cliff.
That's what I do. It's what I'm best at. Detroit at Washington, pick them. And we both pick the Lions because you cannot pick the Redskins the way they're playing right now. They're spotting teams 30 points every game behind that circus with RG3. And between that and their defense, you cannot go with the Redskins. This is the words that you used, and I totally agree with that. You have to go with the Lions, even though the Lions show a propensity to find new and improved ways to lose games all the time, including last week. But we'll still go with the Lions this week because right now you just can't pick the Washington Redskins.
Andre likes the New England Patriots as an 8.5-point home favorite to take care of business against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I take this week. All the pressure in the world on Josh Freeman the last couple of weeks. I think he's actually going to go up to New England. He's going to have a clear head. You believe that Tom Brady will have worked out some stuff with those receivers of his. I'm not sure it's been 10 days. I'm not sure that's not enough time. That looked like a major project, but we shall see. I like Tampa Bay to show up, but not necessarily win the game. you like the Patriots big. We differ on that one.
Arizona's got a 9-point spread to go into New Orleans. New Orleans is a big favorite at home, and we both like Arizona to cover that number. You like them not necessarily to win. Again, your favorite phrase. Do you think the New Orleans defense will rear its ugly head? It's about that time for them to show how bad they can be. And Arizona's offense is actually competent under Interception Santa. Despite the gifts of interceptions that he showers upon everybody, Carson Palmer is a much improved quarterback over any option that the Cardinals had last year. He's so good that, damn it, I'm going to take Arizona to spring the upset because, yes, it is about that time for New Orleans to have one of those games where the defense just cannot stop giving up yards through the air, even on the ground. Even Rashard Mendenhall should have a big game. I'll take the Cardinals for the upset win.
Andre has the Dallas Cowboys as a 3.5-point home favorite. Brought up the wonderful stat that 2 years ago, DeMarco Murray ran for over 250 yards against this Rams team. I like the Rams to cover the 3.5, but not necessarily to win. I'm getting really cute here. Worked for me a couple weeks ago with the Rams. I'm taking the Rams to cover, but lose to Dallas. Book it.
I hate when you do that because you always seem to win those. Because we have to pick every game, Buffalo plus one at the Jets in the battle of the rookie quarterbacks, and we will both take the Buffalo Bills for a pretty simple reason. One of those teams has competent wide receivers and competent running backs, and the other is Geno Smith and the Jets. Got to go with the Bills in this spot.
We both like Minnesota big, 6.5-point home favorites over Cleveland, who's starting, I had to write this guy's name down, Brian Hoyer at quarterback this week. And
who?
A converted full, yeah, who? Brian Hoyer is starting this week. And again, Cleveland, what the fuck? That should be their team motto. They should have their posters up outside the stadium. That's, you know, you're Cleveland Browns. What the fuck? That's what it should say.
That would be awesome if they did that. I'm sure some radio station is working on that right now. Sunday night action sees the Bears and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bears going as a 1-point road favorite, showing the lack of love for the Steelers and the amount of love for the Bears. I completely understand that. Jason will take those Bears. He was tempted to take the Steelers in this spot. It seems like an upset special, but he just couldn't pull the trigger. They're just terrible right now, and Jason loves the under in that game. I actually don't love either side of those. I'll take Pittsburgh and the over because I think it's Pittsburgh's time to perform. They've been muddling along, and I think this is a nice place for Ben Roethlisberger to pick apart that Tampa 2, get some yardage down the field, pull off the upset win over the Bears. Jay Cutler has been upright for 2 games. If he does it a third time, I think I'll have to start believing in the Bears, but I'll be a Bears hater for 1 more week.
Our favorite team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. We just love piling on. Although Cleveland is quickly approaching that Jaguars level of incompetence. The Jaguars are 19-point underdogs. It's like college. The Jaguars are 19, I said that correctly, 19-point underdogs at those juggernauts, Seattle Seahawks. And in true IMLD fashion, it's not enough.
It's not
Seattle
enough.
Seattle big, it's not enough. Although the only thing that really scares me about this game is that you proclaimed this as your lock of the week. And I'm agreeing with you, which is usually something I wouldn't do, but these are the Jaguars who've scored a total of 11 points in 2 games. And Seattle, even with a letdown after last week, they're going to blow the doors off Jacksonville. I agree. Lock it up. Write that shit down. Seattle big.
Monday Night Football sees the Oakland Raiders as a 14.5-point dog at Denver in a divisional battle. And we both can't see Denver covering that big a spread. Hardly any division battle goes that way where a 14.5-point spread in the favorite covers. So we both think the Raiders to cover that number. Neither one of us, of course, are picking the Raiders to actually win that game. But Jason likes those big points. Denver could play down to their competition's level now that they've come off of two big victories. And I completely agree with that. I wonder how much emotion they have left coming off of the big revenge victory to open the season over Baltimore and following that up with the Manning Bowl Part 3 last week. Is there anything in the tank after all of that? So we'll both take Oakland to cover that number. Could be a big rushing day for the Oakland Raiders. That's going to do it for Week 3. In much less detail, the NFL picks are in. Do what you want with them, because if you're going with me, you are losing big money right now. And if you're going with Jason, you're winning money. So maybe you want to keep it that way. Maybe you see it differently. However you want to do it. We will have our picks up on the blog shortly. That will be in much less detail.blogspot.com. You can email the show in much less detail at gmail.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Just search for In Much Less Detail. And you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at IMLDDre, and Jason is at IMLDJPG. This broadcast is copyrighted. And before we go, I believe Jason has a special message for somebody who may have given birth to him.
Yes. Happy birthday, Mom. The big 6-0. The big 60. Oh. Love you, Mom. Happy birthday.
Do you put the woman's age on blast for everybody to hear? I guess it doesn't matter since we only have about 6 listeners, right?
That's correct.
Oh, man.
And she's one of them.
Yes. I probably shouldn't count family members because that'll really bring it down. It's going to do it for us here. We love your feedback if any of you want to give us any. We're having a lot of fun doing this show. We'd love to hear how good we are or how bad. Week 3 is up on the blog. At least it will be in the next half hour or so. Next week's show, back to Wednesday night, I believe, at 10
Wednesday
o'clock.
Wednesday recap, Friday pick show.
Friday again next week?
Friday again next week.
All right, you heard it. Wednesday, 10 o'clock Central, recap week 4. We'll pick the Thursday night game as well. Friday next week, all the rest of the week 4 picks. We will see you then. Come back and listen to this show again if you want or don't. It's up to you. We'll see you later, folks.